Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. There's a joint military base in Alaska, Elmendorf-Richardson Base, and a chaplain there has gotten in trouble because of a blog he wrote on his... He's got a website as the base chaplain, and so he is Lieutenant Colonel Kenneth Reyes. And he wrote this essay on his blog. His blog is Chaplain's Corner, and it's on the base website, and he's a chaplain. So his blog was titled, No Atheist in Foxholes, Chaplains Gave All in World War II. And that phrase, obviously, it's one of the more well-known phrases regarding war and belief in God. There are no atheists in foxholes, and he got in trouble for it. So our expert in all things military chaplain is Chaplain Gordon Klingenschmidt. Chaps, welcome back to Bob Enyart Live.
Bless you, and God bless your listeners in Jesus' name. Can I say that on your show?
You sure can, Chaps. For now, you know, the FCC so far is allowing us to preach the gospel on the air. But, of course, we do it anyway, even if they said we couldn't. So, Chaps, could you... bring us up to speed. Do you know about this case? We just called you, so thank you for making yourself available.
Yes, I'm all aware of it. Lieutenant Colonel Kenneth Reyes is a chaplain at Elmendorf Air Force Base, Alaska, and he was quoting, of all people, President Ike Eisenhower, who said in 1954, quote, I am delighted that our veterans are sponsoring a movement to increase our awareness of God in their daily lives. In battle, they learned a great truth, that there are no atheists in the foxholes.
Wow.
So just by quoting the president, now this chaplain has been censored. The Colonel Brian Duffy is the commander who forced the chaplain to censor his...
Hey, Chaps. Hey, Chaps, we just lost you for a moment. We're going to reconnect. We will reconnect with Chaps. And we'll get him back on. Chaplain Klingenschmidt, his own story is rather extraordinary. He has a ministry called In Jesus' Name. And he, as a military chaplain, got in big trouble for, he's formerly with the U.S. Navy. And he got in big trouble because he would pray in Jesus' name. And then he was off base, but in uniform, at a function, and he prayed in Jesus' name. And so because the military was taking action against him, it went all the way up to the U.S. Congress. And Congress actually passed a law to protect chaplains like Gordon Klingenschmidt. Although the military has, the best I could understand, they've ignored that law and continue to prosecute / persecute Christian chaplains. And so the reason why we have chaplains in the military as compared to, let's say, in the Department of Transportation, right? The Department of Transportation, you go to work and you come home. If it's like a normal job, like I'm a radio talk show host and a pastor, so I have an alleged day off on Thursdays, alleged. But normally, you go to work at 7, you get done working about 7 at night, right? Is that a normal day for normal workers, 7 to 7? 7 to 7, that's a normal work day. And so if you're in the Department of Transportation, you go to work, whether it's 8 to 5 or 9 to 5, whatever it is, New York City, it's 9 to 5. They think the whole world works 9 to 5. And there, you don't need your religious expression on the job because it's a 9 to 5 and you could be private about your religious beliefs. But in the military, you're living 24-7 on a submarine, on a ship, on a base. And so that's why the military has historically had chaplains provide for the spiritual needs of the enlisted men and the officers. So, Chaps Klingenschmidt, are we back with you?
Yes, sir. Did you hear now the Democrats, including the homosexual congressman Jared Polis, is proposing a bill to introduce atheist chaplains to replace many of the Christian chaplains in the military? Well, that's an oxymoron if I ever heard one. And he got 150 Democrat congressmen to vote for this idea of atheist chaplains, right, which really just deprives people of faith in the military of access to
actual
chaplain of faith.
Actual. Hey, Chaps, I went to an atheist conference a couple weeks ago for 7 hours. They were upset that Christians use public schools. They were holding their conference in a public school. There were young kids walking up and down, you know, looking at all their literature. And there they had the president of the original president of the Colorado Humanist Society. And she said, humanism is going to be the national religion in America. And so this is consistent, right? They claim that what they're doing is not a religion. But even when the U.S. Humanists filed for their 501c3, they filed as a religious organization. So they might deny that they're religious, but all the kinds of things they do like this, it's obvious this is a religion. It's where they worship the earth, they worship nature, and they worship themselves.
You're absolutely right. And I think it's ultimately a demon who's trying to impersonate the Holy Spirit, trying to impersonate belief and faith, when actually it's the opposite. It's doubt and unbelief. And it's manifesting in these people who are, they have a different agenda, really, to undermine the Christian faith and to, it's not appropriate for the military because they already have secular psychologists. If an atheist wants counseling, they're not going to go to a chaplain. They're going to go to a secular psychologist, and those are well-funded and well-established. Not only that, but atheists are not qualified to be military chaplains because they cannot get a 3-year accredited master's degree in their religion. There are no atheist seminaries. I guess if there was an atheist seminary, they would teach everything on the first day. We don't believe in anything. What do you teach for the next 3 years? How do you fulfill that?
And then the exams would be pretty easy, I guess.
And the duties would be pretty easy. They're not going to hold worship services. They're not going to provide counseling. They're not going to do anything. What are they going to do in the military?
Well, Chaps, could I let you know, and I want to get back to this lieutenant colonel and the situation he's in right now, but for a moment, since we're talking about atheists and masquerading as, you know, you have Christ and the Antichrist, and you have the church and the anti-church, and they actually said, since we're trying to get people to leave churches, we need to provide the needs of these people that churches would provide for. They talked about marriage counseling and grief counseling and social events and potluck dinners and educational activities. So it's they realize that they are the anti. There's Christ and they are the antichrist. There's the church. They want to be the anti-church. But this one atheist who was there, his name is Chauncey. And I spoke with him about the atheist view of origins, and we had a very brief but interesting conversation. And I asked him, you know, stop me before I speak again. No, that's not what I said. I said, Chauncey, stop me if what I'm saying is incorrect. But you atheists, you tell the world that you figured out origins without God. You don't need God to explain origins, but your Origin of Species, that famous book, begins with species already in existence. And your theory on the origin of stars begins with stars already existing and blowing up. And your origin of genes begins with new genes modifying old genes. And your origin of life on Earth, increasingly, you think that aliens planted it on Earth. That's pre-existing life. And on even the origin of the universe, they now say there are trillions of universes and ours was popped into existence by this process that creates trillions of universes. So they haven't figured out origins in any conceivable way. But they want to pretend that they can provide for the intellectual needs of human beings.
Well, I don't know how they're going to do sacraments or, you know, I would hate to be dying on the battlefield and have one of those atheist chaplains come up to me and say it was all for nothing. That would be very discouraging.
Wow.
But we're also protecting the free speech rights of military chaplains. Bob, we finally got inserted in the National Defense Authorization Act, a bill to protect chaplains' free speech, to let chaplains pray in Jesus' name. And I'm asking people to sign a petition today at faxcongress.com. Mm-hmm. Again, it's fax, like a fax machine, faxcongress.com, to protect military chaplains. And if anyone signs that, it's converted into real fax paper on your congressman's desk. So please help us get that legislation through the Senate. President Obama has already threatened to veto this, but we think we can sneak it through and put it on his desk. And I think it's good legislation to protect free speech for all of our troops of all different religions.
And chaps, I'm at that website right now, faxcongress.com, and there's all kinds of issues that you can alert Congress about, and the Protect Army Chapels from Desecration and Let Military Chaplains Pray in Jesus' Name. They're the first two in the top five today. So it's real easy to find them. Yeah. Okay, so back to this Lieutenant Colonel Kenneth Reyes. So he has a blog on the base website. It's called Chaplain's Corner. And if he can't talk about the belief in God helping soldiers, especially in times of crisis, he would basically be muzzled. So while they want atheist chaplains to promote their worldview and ostensibly unfettered, of course, they want to completely gut what a Christian chaplain would be able to say. Effectively, you'd be able to say nothing.
Well, and this is not the first time that chaplains are being censored. You know my story when I was punished for praying in Jesus' name. I'm not going to repeat that today. But last couple of months, there was another chaplain who lost the keys to his chapel building, or rather they were taken away from him because he refused to facilitate a homosexual wedding that would desecrate the Protestant or Catholic altar and deprive all of our soldiers of a sacred worship space. So since the chaplain refused to facilitate that homosexual wedding, he was relieved of that duty, and they took away the keys to his chapel. Another tech sergeant in Utah, Lane Wilson, wrote an email to a chaplain, said, you know, I object to seeing a homosexual wedding in the base chapel. I think that desecrates the altar and deprives me of a sacred worship space. Well, for that email to a chaplain, the tech sergeant got a letter of reprimand from his commanding officer saying, you're not a team player and you're showing disrespect for other people when you say you don't like homosexuality. So
yeah,
don't have freedom of speech anymore. We need to do something about that.
Yeah. Chaplain, this is actually, we're seeing the implementation of the thought police in America and in Europe and elsewhere around the country. They actually require you to affirm their sexual perversion. And if you don't affirm their sexual perversion, then they will work to get rid of you, work to marginalize you, and so on. So Christianity and homosexuality, we've been saying this on the air for over 20 years, Chaplain. These are mutually exclusive. Only one or the other will be allowed in the public square. Only homosexuality or Christianity, they will not both be allowed. And you enter into a bizarre world when you say that men could have relationships one with another. It's like we're 1984 all over again.
Well, you're right, Bob. And they are coming after us and punishing us. There was a city council in San Antonio, Texas, has just introduced this non-discrimination language. And anytime you hear the word non-discrimination,
homo,
what they mean is they're promoting homosexuality, and right, they're actually going to forbid anyone from working in the San Antonio government if they've ever voiced bias against someone's sexual orientation. So that's just a religious litmus test to keep the Christians out of government. and now it's starting in San Antonio. By the way, that violates the Constitution, but I wonder if any judge will protect the Christian's right to serve in public office.
Yeah, I would think, sadly, no. And, Chaplain, we talk about this here at Bob and Yurt Live now and then. You and I may have talked about this. I don't recall. But do you recall that the Colorado legislature passed a bill prohibiting publishing any material in Colorado that may discriminate against homosexuality? Do you recall that?
I think you mentioned it to me. And didn't you go out and run the printing press and try to violate that? What happened?
Well, that's right. We did. What we did is, and I'm pulling up this law on my website right now, but History of Homosexual Rights. We created a flyer, a pamphlet, when the governor signed this law, and it said on the flyer that homosexuals should not be allowed to adopt children and so on. And that would be a form of discrimination against homosexuals, obviously. And so it said that this flyer is against the law in Colorado, quoting the law that it was violating, which is Colorado Revised Statutes 2434701. And so we brought that flyer to the Capitol, and we distributed it to our representatives, our senators. We brought it to the governor's office, gave it to his staff. He wasn't in. And so the state police came, and we said to them, this is an illegal flyer that's being distributed right here in the Capitol. We think you should make an arrest. And they detained us and confronted us for about 15 minutes, but decided not to arrest us. I don't know why. I mean, when you're breaking the law and flaunting it in the Capitol, I mean, shouldn't they arrest you? So we figured they're going to wait a few years until they have somebody like Fred Phelps in Colorado, who virtually everyone hates, and then they're going to enforce this law to have the absolute perfect opportunity to try to further put teeth into this paper right now.
Well, you're a brave man. You remind me of myself standing in front of the White House and praying in Jesus' name on national television when the Navy ordered me as a chaplain to stop praying in Jesus' name. Mm. Of course, I was punished for that, but then I was vindicated by Congress. So there are ways to change bad laws. We've got to create a public outcry in some of these things. One of the laws we're working on, I don't know if you're aware, Bob, that they have introduced an amendment to the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, which is formerly known as No Child Left Behind, but now it's to mandate homosexual classroom teaching and lectures to kindergarten kids that homosexuality is normal. And if the school doesn't do that, Al Franken says that the school should lose its federal funding. So it's really going to mandate that, we're calling this the No Child Left Unmolested Bill.
Wow.
It's going to mandate homosexual education, yeah, in all 50 states and every public school.
Yeah, because that is child abuse, just like allowing children unfettered access to network TV. That's child abuse. Allowing children unfiltered access to the internet. That's child abuse. And so teaching children that men having romantic relationships with men is a good thing, that is child abuse. And this is why. Chaps, years ago, my wife and I, well, me and I, you know, my poor wife, Cheryl, she suffers often because I'm a target. But we were in trouble for spanking one of our kids. I don't know if you remember that part of our history, but we went through 3 or 4 jury trials, and they finally got me convicted on a spanking, and it led to years of difficulty. But our kids are all grown up now, and they love us dearly, and so what the state tried to do backfired. But through that whole process, we realized when I had a call from a relative, and this relative strongly promotes homosexual activism. And Cheryl and I just had our 4 children taken away from us because I was convicted of a spanking. Spanking on the backside with a belt, one of our boys, 3 swats, left 3 red marks on the backside. 5 swats, left 3 red marks. And we had our children taken away. We lost custody of our kids. And so my relative said to me, well, you know, we talked for a little bit, and he, of course, is advocating homosexual marriage and families. And he said, well, I know we have our differences, but Robert, how are you doing? How's your family? And I said, chaps, I told my uncle it was. I said, well, our children have been taken away from us. And so when the culture wants to take perversion and say that it's the normal family, then of course they have to take normal families and present them as evil or destructive or immoral or abnormal. So my family is being attacked as abnormal so that the homosexual couple could be viewed as normal. If you want perversion to look normal, you have to take what is normal and wholesome and somehow destroy that. So other than our family being destroyed, we're doing fine. How are you?
Well, they're not just trying to redefine the family and recruit our children, but they're really taking away religious freedom to object to that. You must have heard of Jack Phillips, who's the baker in Denver there, who was refused to make a homosexual wedding cake for a couple from New York. And
yeah,
now he's being, you know, prosecuted by the attorney general in cahoots with the ACLU. They're going after Christians. If you refuse to celebrate homosexual marriage, then you can be punished as a non-cooperator.
Yeah. And in Colorado, the attorney, who's that? John Southers. He brags he's a Republican, a conservative. He has filed with the court that if Masterpiece Bakery, if they don't make this cake for this homosexual couple, that they could be fined $500 a day. And so we're going to have their attorney on this show tomorrow. We're looking forward to that. Thanks for bringing that case up. And Doug McBurney and I pointed out yesterday that the homosexuals, for years, they said, all we want is to be left alone. All we want is to be left. You know, you believe that. I have a bridge to sell you. All we want is to be left alone. And oh, yeah. And also, you have to bake us a cake. And it goes on from there, of course. So it's a lie that all they wanted is to be left alone. That is a lie. What they want is our children. What they want is our churches. What they want is the ability to dismantle any semblance of Christian morality in our culture. That's what homosexuality is about.
You're right. I was in Washington, D.C. 2 weeks ago, and I attended the ENDA hearings in the Senate Dirksen Building, room 443. And there was a cross-dressing man there who was lobbying for bathroom privileges. He wants to be able to use the ladies' bathroom. And I interviewed him on my show afterwards. And I asked him, his name is Dan Beyer, but now he goes by Dana Beyer. I said, doesn't this bill, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, doesn't it have penalties for Christian business owners who refuse to open up the ladies' bathroom to a cross-dressing man? And he said, well, yeah, but they're small penalties, and they're only for education. You guys will get used to it, and then you'll stop, you know, discriminating, and pretty soon you'll be happy with us in the ladies' bathroom. So they're trying to make it so nice about how they're going to punish us gently and just re-educate the Christians. But
yeah,
in the end, I wonder if we're going to be able to stand up as a church.
Hey, chaps, in the ladies' restroom, now the Colorado bill that I mentioned before, that covers that, by the way. That includes the right for homosexuals to use women's restrooms. That's in that bill. But Focus on the Family, unfortunately, at the time, they sort of did a caricature of the bill, and they pretended it was the bathroom bill, like that's all it did. They never one time warned the church or the nation that this bill literally says it prohibits the publishing of anything discriminatory on cohabitation, like shacking up, and homosexuality. So if you teach that homosexuals should not be able to adopt children or marry, or that it's wrong for heterosexual couples to live together before marriage, that's against the law to publish a flyer or a book or a radio broadcast in Colorado saying that. It's against the law. And Focus on the Family never once raised the issue. But so he could, this Dan Beyer, he could come to Colorado, right? He could use the ladies' restrooms. And how about the ladies' locker rooms at the YWCA? How about that?
Or in a public school where there's little girls who are vulnerable.
Yeah.
you know, it's no longer safe, I believe, to send your little girls to any public school, whether it's California or Colorado.
Absolutely not.
There needs to be an exodus, and there needs to be a homeschooling movement. The church needs to take back the education, at least of our own children.
Amen.
To protect them from this agenda. And
amen,
if we don't do that,
chaps,
we're going to lose our kids to that
that's
agenda.
That's another form of child abuse, to send your children to a godless government school or any godless school. When you have children, you send them for a godless education. That's a form of child abuse, and it's a sin. So, hey, in this state, chaps, I was on the radio with, well, I'm thinking of two different homosexuals, one on KNUS a few years ago, and I asked him, he was a transvestite, so he dressed like a woman, he said he was a woman. So is that a transsexual or transvestite? I get him confused. Anyway, I asked him, I said, and he had his daughter in the studio with him. And now he's, you know, he was a man and a father. Now he's a woman, he says. And I asked him if he was on a ship and it was sinking at sea. And they said, women and children to the lifeboats. What would you do? And do you know he got so angry and he would not answer the question? It's like, what would you do? Why can't he answer the question? You're a girl, right? So say you'd get in the lifeboat. But he knows in his heart of hearts that he's living a lie, that he is a liar, just like all the homosexuals with their phony homo lisp. They pretend to lisp, you know, but that's starting to fade away because they have more power, so they don't have to act like that. But 15, 20 years ago, the phony homo lisp was everywhere. So, Chaplain, we're fighting a lie. It's not just a lie. It's utterly destructive.
We are, and unless the church takes back the government, I don't think our nation has much hope. They're going to punish the Christians. You know, and it's not too different than what's happened throughout church history. We have been persecuted.
Yeah.
I did lose my career. I lost my pension. But together we took a stand, and we caused, hopefully, a Holy Ghost revival across America. I think the church is standing up. There are good listeners. There is a remnant up there in Denver. I know they listen to your radio show.
Well.
And the church is taking a stand for freedom.
Well, thank you.
And we invite anyone who's with us to sign our petitions today at factscongress.com.
All right.
And take a stand with us.
Chaplain Klingenschmidt, thank you. May God bless you for your courage. God bless you,
Chaps. You too, Pastor Bob. God
bless
you.
Thanks for joining us. That's factscongress.com. Our website is kgov.com. Boy, do we need your help. We're not getting any donations from Tim Gill or the homosexuals. I'll tell you that. We need your help. We don't have a mega church behind us keeping us on the air. We need your help, and we really need it in a dire way. By the way, the petition, the Brady petition, please sign it if you haven't. Go to our website to get the link, kgov.com. It's at A Voice for Brady online. And also, Alan Keyes is coming September 7th. You got to go to the banquet, Colorado Right to Life. It'll be great. God bless you.